The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Jesus loves the little.
A reading from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? When I expected to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river.
Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by from the rock of its grace?
The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it.
Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven.
Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what is your right hand. What your right hand has planted. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Philippians. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the landowner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce of the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in their eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces and will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Okay, so I'm warning you first. Today's sermon is going to be me going through the Old Testament, working my way into the New Testament, and finally for the Gospel. My hope is that I have one sermon and not four. That may not happen. It's interesting because in the scriptures today, we see a lot of parables, a lot of talk about vineyards. So the one thing I want to keep in your mind as I talk about the scriptures today, it's this. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And as we'll see, bad things start to happen when people believe differently. I know this rattles our modern sensibilities. We like the American myth of, you know, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. And I get to decide what I do with my stuff because I earned it. But really, everything that we own, everything that we have, belongs to God. And I think there's a great story that illustrates this. One day, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and they no longer needed God. They picked one scientist to go and tell him that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer have need of you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you go and just get lost? God listened patiently and kindly to the man. After the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest. To which the man replied, okay, great. But God added, now we're going to do this like I did back in the old days with Adam. Scientist said, sure, no problem. And bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God just looked at him and said, no, you get your own dirt. I know there are scientists in the room. We have to take ourselves lightly sometimes. God owns it all. God owns it all. Let's take a look at Isaiah and the psalm. In the Isaiah's, the scripture is a love song that described God as the owner of a vineyard that he loved. Owning a vineyard takes time, love, skill, mass amounts of dedication. God's vineyard was placed on a very fertile hill, which was Jerusalem. The psalm says, you cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with shade. Everything seemed like it would work out okay. The vineyard would produce grapes that would extend to the rest of the world. But something happened. The grapes did not come out like God expected. It was actually wild grapes. They couldn't be controlled. So what does the owner of the vineyard do? He opens up the walls and he allows it to be trampled. It's no longer going to be God's vineyard. And the psalmist asks, why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. This was addressing a very important moment in the history of Israel. God's vineyard had turned away from God. They were wild grapes. So God allowed foreign armies to invade and conquer them. They would no longer be protected. God was taking what he owns and was doing away with it. But not for good. They would eventually be exiled into forest lands, and Jerusalem would be laid to waste, but they would come back. It didn't stay that way. God eventually allowed the people who were exiled to return and build a new temple and once again be the people of God, the vineyard. But again, they started thinking that they owned the place. The religious leaders started to build walls around God's vineyard, claiming that if we only protect ourselves with these laws and these rituals, actions, then will bad things not happen to us. The Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, described this attitude very well in today's readings. He writes about himself before meeting Jesus. A member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. When Paul lived that life, he believed he had ownership because he obeyed the law. He did not see himself as a steward. We can't start believing that we own stuff because we have a reciprocal relationship with God. And it was through the law that Paul believed that he was entitled. He was entitled. He believed that this life of faith we live is something that we have worked for. All right, let's go to today's parable now. Like the love song in Isaiah, the parable from the gospel today has God as the owner of a vineyard. Those who are servants, some say translation slaves, the tenants, they were the religious leaders. They're the ones who God leased the land to. And God had done everything for that vineyard that he left those tenants. But something bad happens. They go rogue. They start to believe that they own the land, that they have the rights to it. Unfortunately, this is very far from the truth. The owner of the vineyard sends some slaves to collect money. They're beaten and thrown out. Some are stoned and others are killed. See, this is exactly what Israel had done to the messengers of God. Israel had denied them. A little later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How long have I desired to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The leadership of Israel was not willing to hear from God. It seems, though, that this is actually a universal human condition, to believe that we actually can take charge of what God owns. The servants who believed that they had a chance of owning the land went through insane measures to take the land from their owner. They had a perverted view of reality. And they took this to extreme lengths by casting out the servants, beating some, and then holding the land hostage. So the master of the house says, "Surely they won't do this to my son." But no, that's not true. When the master sends his son, the servants think that if they kill him, they could take ownership of the land. Never mind that the owner himself was still alive. They had a distorted view of reality. Maybe they were thinking this would be a war of attrition. They could kill the son and wait for the master to give up land rights, or wait until he died. In that culture, all you had to do was prove that you had occupied a land for 5 years if the owner had died, in order for the inhabitants of that land to claim ownership. But really, this wasn't a war of attrition. It was a losing battle for the tenants. They didn't own the land. They never did. But there's something special about the master. He goes through great, extraordinary lengths to claim what's his. He knows what he owns and wants to claim it, even sending his son. But the son is killed and his body is cast out of the vineyard. But it doesn't end there. The stone that was rejected would rise again and be the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone, I learned, provides the framework for the building. All other stones would be aligned according to the cornerstone. That's what the Son does. That's who Jesus is. We hear the Apostle Paul say today, "More than that, I regard everything a loss, because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He regards everything as rubbish, trash. Nothing matters except knowing Jesus. That's what's important. When looking at the vineyard parable, we realize that humanity has always been caught up in thinking that we own what we've been given. This is so far from the truth. Everything we own belongs to God. And knowing God makes us realize that the stuff we own is not very important. It's actually freeing to know that the stuff we own doesn't own us. It's freeing to know that if everything belongs to God, we have the ability to be generous with our possessions we've been entrusted with. Because God has entrusted us with certain belongings, not to hoard, but to give back. And it feels great to be a steward of God's abundance. I love reading bumper stickers. My wife's, she has a bumper sticker on her car that she says, "I express my individuality through bumper stickers." There's another one that I read. It says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And that person has a perverted view of reality. Because if you die hoarding all you have, you actually lose. Because you've never experienced the sheer grace of understanding that everything is God's. But there's even better news than that. If everything belongs to God, then we too belong to God. We have the grace of understanding that there is someone who owns us. We have a God who claims us in baptism, who forgives us at the altar. We have a God who is not capable of letting us go. We are claimed by God. We are redeemed by God. And we are allowed to be stewards of God's creation. There is freedom in this good news. Let us be thankful for remembering whose we are. Amen.